podcast, conversation, Phil versus content aware, Phil guide. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Banana Thumbnail Podcast, where we bring thumbnails to life to crush the competition. Today we've got something really cool in store. Absolutely, we're diving into the generative Phil versus content aware Phil debate. This is a big one for creators and designers, especially with all the advancements in 2025. Exactly. I mean, think about it. Remember the days when we had to clone stamp every single pixel by hand? It was like using a tiny hammer to fix a dented fender. Oh man, that sounds tedious. I can't imagine how long that took. It was a slog for sure. Content aware. Phil came along, and it felt like we had hit the peak of editing technology. So what's the scoop? Are we saying that relying solely on content aware Phil today is like driving a vintage car in a world full of electric vehicles? You got it. If you're still stuck on that older tech, you might be missing out on some serious time-saving capabilities. Okay, so let's break it down. What exactly is the difference between generative Phil and content-aware Phil? Great question. Content-aware Phil works by sampling pixels from your existing image. It's like patching up your jeans by cutting fabric from another part of them. Oh, I see. So it's kind of limited to what's already there? Exactly. It works well for simple textures like grass or sky. But generative Phil takes it to the next level. How does it do that? Generative Phil uses AI models to create brand new pixels based on context. For instance, if you select a hand with a missing finger, it generates an entirely new finger rather than just slapping on some skin texture. Wow. That's impressive. So it's like having a whole creative assistant in your software, right? But here's the catch. Managing costs can be a bit nerve-wracking. Content aware. Phil runs on your machine and costs nothing but electricity. But generative Phil uses cloud computing, so you're looking at credits. Oh, credits. That's where it gets tricky. What's the deal with them in 2025? So with the standard Adobe Firefly model, you burn one credit per generation. But if you go for the premium partner models like Flux, Context Pro, or Nano, Banana, it's 10 credits per generation. Yikes, that's quite a jump. So it sounds like you really need to choose wisely when you use those premium models. Absolutely. If you're just removing something simple, stick to the base, Adobe, Firefly model, or Classic, Content Aware, Phil. Save the big guns for more complex tasks. That makes sense. But what's your go-to strategy here? Should we just switch to generative Phil for everything? Not at all. It's all about a hybrid approach. For simple textures like concrete or grass, I lean towards content aware. It's faster and doesn't trigger those made with AI metadata tags some platforms are cracking down on. Right, I can see how that would be important. So when do you pull out the generative Phil card? For creation, if I'm changing someone's outfit or adding a mountain where there used to be a parking lot, that's where generative Phil shines. Content aware is for repair, while generative Phil is for creation. Nice distinction. What about the future of these tools? What's on the horizon? The 2025 updates are introducing partner models right inside the generative Phil bar. So now you can choose between Adobe, Firefly, and third-party models. That's huge. It sounds like we're really stepping into a new era of design. Definitely, the generative AI design market is projected to reach over $13 billion by 2030. It's clear that this isn't just a fad, it's becoming the new standard. Wow, I had no idea the growth was that significant. And it's happening fast. Creators have reported transforming low-quality images into campaign mockups in under 6 minutes using these tools. That used to take 45 minutes. That's a massive time saver. But before we wrap up, are there any common mistakes we should look out for with generative Phil? Great point. One common issue is the plastic look. Over-relying on generative Phil can lead to images that look waxy or fake. Adding a noise layer can help tie everything together. Oh, that's a solid tip. What about resolution concerns? Generative Phil doesn't always output at full 4K resolution, especially on large generations. It's often better to generate in smaller sections for sharper details. That's super helpful. So to sum it all up, what should creators be focusing on as we move into 2025? If you're feeling stuck or your workflow is slow, it's not about choosing one tool over the other. It's about knowing when to reach for generative fill versus content-aware fill. Exactly. So the takeaway here is to embrace both technologies to enhance your editing process. For sure, and don't forget to always check your credit balance before diving into those partner models. Good call. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this episode of The Banana Thumbnail Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.